All right, it's good to be back with you in a somewhat normal situation. I got my job back, so I get to be the Duneland Bible Class teacher most of the time. I'm going to be gone for another week or so sometime in a short time, but that's normal summertime type of things. For this summer, starting now, we're going to look at Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and hopefully we'll be able to extend it and also finish it. I don't know exactly where this is going to go, but we're going to call a series, Listen to the Message to the Churches. Listen to the Message to the Churches. And so I want to, if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 2, we'll read 7 verses there that kind of give us the foundational theme for this summer. And then we're going to hopefully explain and apply those, the key clause in those verses. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then it says, "To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life." And it continues. And then Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. Revelation chapter 2, verse 11 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then it says, "He that overcomes." Then Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then he says a few more things. Then Revelation chapter 2, verse 29 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Then Revelation 3, verse 6 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Then Revelation chapter 3, verse 13 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And finally, Revelation 3, verse 22 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." It occurs to me, even just now, that we put quite a large emphasis on things that are said more than one time in Scripture. We think of, to me, the classic, "Holy, holy, holy." I mean, the thrice holy God. And I'm not trying to take away from that. We look at, I think it's in the book of Judges where twice it says, "There was no king in Israel and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And we say, that's the important thing. There's a couple times in the Proverbs where we see exactly the same thing said again and again. I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible where it's pounded home so frequently, so often, such a short amount of time. And I think it's significant that it's here, right, the very last book that God gave us in what we would call canon, in the inspired Scriptures, that these words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what Spirit saith to the churches." Now, I think there is an interesting way. I'm getting into kind of a little more introduction expanded. And there's an interesting way of looking at Revelation 2 and 3. And it is interesting. It's kind of fun to hear somebody who's done their research present this. And this way is to present these chapters as if, or these churches, as if they are representative of eras in Christian history, of like, you know, we're living in the Laodicean age. Have you ever heard that? We're living in the Laodicean age. Well, that comes from this whole idea that, you know, the first Christians were in the Ephesian age, and then, you know, so it's interesting. It's kind of fun thinking about it that way because our minds like this type of thing. But something that we should, I think everyone I've heard say that will preface their things by saying, and I believe this, there are churches like the churches, all 7 of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3 at all times in history. So today, across the world, there are churches that are very much like the Laodicean church. There are churches that are like the Ephesian church. There are churches like the Church of Sardis. There are believers and communities of believers, churches of assemblies of believers that are very similar to all of those. And there might be churches that are like a combination. You know, they're a, you know, they're a Sardis dash Thyatira. I don't know. Okay, but so there, if we believe that, the words of Scripture apply to all time, then at every time in history there's been people that that have these strengths and or weaknesses in them. And so, somebody who does their homework will always be able to find stories and illustrations during an era that would prove that theory. If every one of those churches are always existent in history, it's going to be easy enough to just look for what I see in the early churches and just look for what I want to see right now. If I want to say this is the Laodicean age, I can find lots of churches that, but there was churches like Laodicea in the first age. Okay, so it's interesting. It's kind of inspiring in a certain way, but it's not, it's got serious faults to that idea. I will also say, and I'm pointing that out for a reason that we'll get to. Second thing I want us to think about here is that it is quite helpful to see the actual cities, to see how these cities, Ephesus, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Thyatira, how their cities and their historical, what happened to them in history, how they were built, you know, where they were geographically. It's really interesting and helpful to see that, how that significance helps us understand what Jesus is saying to these churches. I was listening to a series on it several months ago, and I learned some more things about their geography and their history and their culture that you can see connected to the way Jesus spoke to them. But, and you knew that was coming, right? But, in the end, the Holy Spirit wanted all to hear what was said to every church. So Revelation is written, and it arrives in Ephesus, and they sit there and they hear what is said to them, and then they're like, okay, now we're done. And then they hear what is said to Smyrna, say, can't remember what the next one is, and they're like, yeah, Smyrna. And then at the end of it, the Spirit said, if you have an ear, listen to what I just said to Smyrna. It's like, oh, we got to listen to that too. And then the next one, Sardis, Philadelphia, Thyatira. I'm missing one. Laodicea. But either way, every single time, seven times, the Holy Spirit said, he that has an ear, he that hath an ear in the older English, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to every church, as if it didn't matter that we're not from that church. It doesn't matter that I'm not from that church. I still have to hear what the Holy Spirit said to that church. Like the Holy Spirit wants me to have something for me from that instruction. And it doesn't matter that we don't live in the Ephesian church age. Or the Philadelphia. It doesn't matter that I live in the Laodicean church age that I don't think actually exists. It doesn't matter. Everything that he said to all of those churches is for me, as long as I have an ear that can hear. Seven times, every time, we are told to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so we'll be looking at these chapters for the rest of the summer from a different than normal viewpoint. Since what was said is, for all of us today, this verse tells us, right? How many of you have an ear? Right? And even if you by some providence or, you know, lost your ear, the point is, if you have an ear, everybody has an ear. The point is, everybody has an ear. He that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So since what was said is for all of us, even today, we're going to remove, quote unquote, They're there, but we're going to remove the church from the forefront. We're going to put the church in the background, and we're going to look at what God said, what Jesus wanted us to see. He did send it to these seven churches, but I want us to see what God wanted us to see. We're going to look, once we finish this lesson, at Christ. Christ presents himself in a certain way to each of these churches, and then he tells everybody, listen, look at how I presented myself to this church, and to this church, and to this church. So we're going to look at Christ. We're going to see his commendations. Christ gives certain commendations. We're going to look at his rebukes, his exhortation, the alternative to following the exhortation, and the promises that he gives. I'm going to try to be careful, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I just, over and over and over again, these verses, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches, has pounded on me. These chapters are not for an age in the past, and everything that's there is for us. So, let's look now at that verse. Now, the first three times he adds things afterward, which we'll look at later, but the last four times he just gives that clause, that sentence. Revelation 2:29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What does that mean? I know what that means. Well, let's just look at a little bit more. He, Mrs. Marquez will appreciate this. That's a singular pronoun. It's a third person singular pronoun, right? He. That's an individual. We all understand that. I don't remember that word. But we all understand he is one person, right? He. Now, because it's addressed to a lot of people, who does that mean? That means me. It doesn't mean my church. Doesn't mean somebody else. That means this one person. Every one of us as one person is represented in that he, right? It's a singular pronoun. Each individual Christian, all the way to you and me today, he, right? He that has an ear, let him hear. He with an ear, let him hear. Let's just think about this. Now let's go back in history. Who saw these words for the first time, heard the Spirit with an audible voice. It didn't happen that way. Except that what happened is hearing the Spirit's voice. Okay, so what happened? John was in exile, right? Now, I don't know what kind of exile it was. I haven't done enough historical study. But we know he was in exile. There must have been somebody there, unless miraculously he put this scroll in a bottle and it floated to Ephesus. There had to be some interaction. I guess it could have been that way, but there was some interaction. But it wasn't like John went to all these churches. He gave this to somebody and they brought it. So John didn't speak these words to the people that heard them. A messenger, the angel of the church, possibly, or somebody got up and said, we have word from John. They recognize it as the word of God from the Spirit. They opened it up and they read it. And when whoever that nameless person is that read these words spoke, whose word was it? It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But that person's voice wasn't any more special than mine. I can read these words. And when my voice says these words, you know it's the voice of the Spirit. Not because I'm special, but because this is special. These are the words of the Spirit. No one heard the Spirit with an audible voice, with the Spirit's actual own audible voice. He wrote to those seven churches. Someone read the words that John wrote by the Spirit to the churches. Each one listening was to hear the voice of the Spirit in the reading of the Scripture. And obviously, what were they supposed to do with it? Enjoy the rhyme of the sounds? Criticize the monotone or the expression of the reader? No, they were supposed to do it. He that has an ear, let him hear. But there's no use listening and not doing, right? It's no use listening and not doing. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. James tells us not to be hearers of the word and or not to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22. So he, and today that's each one of you in here today, is to hear and do what the Spirit says. Now, what does the Spirit say? Well, we know what he said right here. But we also know that 2 Peter tells us in chapter 1, verse 21, that the prophecy, even the prophecy in the old times, came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So all of the scriptures that we have, you're like, I learned this in third grade. We need to remember it. All of the scriptures that we have is spoken, is the voice, is what the Spirit has said. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now that word, I'm not the Greek scholar, but I've studied that word, theopneustos, that is by the breathing of God, breathed out by God, by the Spirit. So the neustos is the, I think, is the Spirit part. But all scripture is from the Spirit. All the scriptures is what the Spirit is saying. So in a huge way, applying this, well, let's just take the next step, and then we'll apply it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Okay? So each individual is supposed to hear what the Spirit says to a church, but also to the other churches. So every believer who heard Revelation was to hear all of it. They weren't supposed to say, well, that was for them. They weren't supposed to decide that chapter 4 was for the Ephesians. I don't need to listen to chapter 4. Of course, it didn't have chapters. But it was all, each person was to hear what was said by the Spirit to each church and to their church that wasn't their church. And I think it is not something that I should have to defend, and I don't think anybody would attack me on this, but that if that's true, then each Christian should be hearing what the Spirit spoke to other churches, like the church at Colossae, and the believers that were in Rome, and church at Corinth, and the church at Philippi, right? So not just the seven churches, all the churches that had the Spirit speak to them. And I would say that we would all agree that we should, each person needs to hear what the Spirit has said in all of his writings to the saints, whether it would be the book of James, or the book of Acts, or the Gospels. And if you include Old Testament saints, which I would, that would be all 39 books of the Old Testament to us. The Spirit has spoken all of these things. He's said it. And this exhortation to us, given seven times in the last book of the Bible, says, if you have an ear, if thou hast an ear, if thou hast an ear, you need to hear what the Spirit has said to the churches, and that includes everything that the Spirit has said. So, you say, Pastor Voglin, it's 2022. That was 1950 years ago. How do we hear today what the Spirit is saying? Does the Spirit speak today? I'm trying to be specific because a lot of, the Lord led me. Holy Spirit said, God said to do this. Today, how to hear what the Spirit is saying. Let me say first, I can't say first enough times, top, first, most important, more important than 95 other things out of 100. The first thing and the second thing and the third. If you have a list 20 things long how to tell what the Holy Spirit is saying, 19 of them should be this. You must first hear what he has said. And that's right here. It's right here. What he has said is right here. The scriptures are the Holy Spirit's magnum opus. Now, I've heard that used a couple times. I've said it in this class, but today, or yesterday, I thought, I'm going to look that up. It's his primary work. There's nothing greater that the Holy Spirit has done than give us the scriptures. Now, you cannot like that statement. You can might say, well, what about the day of Pentecost? Doesn't hold a candle to giving us the scriptures. What about the miracles of Peter, John, and Paul? Nothing. Those are little compared to giving us the scriptures. These are the words of God. Sometimes you'll hear a man say that when he reads his passage before a sermon. These are the words of God. They are the words. It's not my voice. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And he has said this, I don't know, thousands of pages, hundreds of thousands, perhaps I've done the millions of words. So Jesus told us what the Spirit would do. In John 16:13, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Now, as believers, we believe. What we practice sometimes is not this, but we believe that the scriptures are sufficient for all of our questions. They are all truth. So what that means is that John 16:13 has been fulfilled. There's no new truth coming from God. He guided the apostles who heard that and their associates into all truth. And so the scriptures are all truth. They are sufficient. We don't need anything more than the scriptures. Now, because we're human beings and it was written in another language, there's a lot of work we can do to explain and understand it better. But everything we explain and understand better has to come from this. Because the Spirit has given us all truth. He gives us commands. He gives us principles. I was thinking about this. The Bible says, speaks positively about a saint who will swear to his own hurt and not turn away from it. Who will say, I made a promise, I'm going to keep it, even though it's going to hurt me. That's a principle of Scripture. And there's dozens, maybe scores, maybe hundreds of things in Scripture that we can learn from that actually apply to us today in various situations. Maybe not all of them to every situation. But every decision we have, there's things there to learn. God, the Spirit, gave us commands, principles, promises, and he even gave us systems. And in those systems, we receive what I would call secondary commands. God created a system that we call the family. It's God's system. We all put our bumper stickers on after Obergefell or whatever, right? God created marriage. God creates a family, not man. God created it, so that means he says how it works. So however he says how it works, that's the Spirit's word. So if you have an ear, you need to hear what God says about how to act in a family, whether you're the husband or the wife or the father or the children. He set that up in Genesis 1. He speaks about it in Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 5 and 6. God set up government in Genesis chapter 9. He established government. He speaks of government in Romans 13 and other things. So if you're involved in government, whether as a governor or as a citizen, that pretty much is everybody, right? So God says how you should govern, and God says how you should respond as a citizen. And they're all human beings, so mistakes can be made, and then we have to, like, okay, what do we do in this situation when the government is not doing what it should do? Well, that's where our principles come in. Not our principles, the Bible's principles, the Holy Spirit's principles. The church. Jesus talked about his establishment of the church in Matthew 16, and there's many things in the New Testament, but 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, Hebrews 13. The Bible tells us as pastors, deacons, everyone in a church, how we interact. Hebrews 13 says, obey them that have the rule over you. And somebody might say, well, that word rule can also mean guide. Well, that just makes it even more, you know, obey them that are given to you to guide you. Well, that's your pastors. So this is a system, if we want to use that word, that's not a Bible word, the church, government, the home, even our job situation, because God talks about masters and servants, not established, jobs aren't established by God, but that relationship is addressed by God. All of these things are things that is how the Spirit has spoken and is still speaking today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. He's given these things. We have to look at what he has said. It can be difficult and time-consuming to study all the way through a question. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. You have a question, you have a decision you have to make, and it's not like, should I put cheese on my hamburger or not? You know, it's a difficult decision. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's, you know, oh, I just like open the Bible and just point there. Okay, yeah, I got it. The Holy Spirit spoke. No, he didn't. But it's way harder than praying about it too, let me just say. So I'm going to pray about this decision. I'm going to pray about it 7 times a day. Well, there's a danger in getting what you think about often. Okay, I remember when I got a Toyota Sienna, all of a sudden, everybody in the world drove a Toyota Sienna. Why? Because I was thinking about it. So all of a sudden, I saw all this other stuff. If you just think about what this something that you think you want, that you think maybe God wants you to do, you keep thinking about it, pretty soon you're going to do it. And it won't necessarily be the voice of the Spirit. In fact, it might be quite contrary to the voice of the Spirit. The more you think about something, the more you will see it and justify it. And this is why we have instruction and external helps in Scripture. God has placed these things in place. So let me just say this, and I know I'm over, but I'll just read my last point and the conclusion. If you are informing, if you're going to your biblical authority, if you're going to them and telling them what the Spirit has told or led you to, you've done it wrong. Because the Spirit speaks through his word, and he's given you biblical authority. He's given you parents. He's given you a government if they're involved in that type of question. He's given you spiritual authority. He's given you a church. If you're just saying, well, I've been thinking about this for a while, so I started praying about it, and pastor, this is what God's leading me to. No, he's not. Say, he's not. Not right now. Because you haven't followed what the Spirit said. The Spirit said, obey, remember, salute those in a church. And you're a student, or you're a child, you're a 17-year-old, I want to do this, and I've been thinking about it. Mom and Dad, this is what God wants me to do, and Mom and Dad don't think that's what God wants you to do? No, God hasn't spoken. Now, God may lead to that, but he's going to lead to it through his means, which is through those means, or with those means, with those parents, with those pastors. The Holy Spirit, just like Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will never lead or impress or say something different than what he's clearly said. When you are about to say, God's leading me to do this, to go here, to change jobs, to change or quit a ministry, anything that is beyond either positively, like greater or negatively, less than the plain words of Scripture or the plain words or practice of your biblical authorities, ask yourself, or when you hear someone say, God's leading me in relation to all those same areas, ask yourself, ask them, whose voice are you hearing? Is it yours or is it his? We know how he speaks. We know how he speaks. And we can judge. It's not an easy job. It takes a long time to work through the process. I can't just hear it yesterday and say, that sounds good. Many of these questions take a lot of time to study through and meditate on and think about. But we can judge or evaluate what we say he is saying against what he has said. So I want us to consider this, not just this week, but we need to hear what the Spirit says. Hear what the Spirit says. And that's where we're starting. And as we go on, we'll get off of that point because we're going to look at what he said specifically to the churches in Revelation. But this is an important thing for us to understand and realize how much our human nature and our own desires jump in front of what the Bible says, even though the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. Let's pray. Father,